Hi, hello. Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, sir.
This Lyndon Johnson?
Yes, sir, President Johnson.
How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you the Will Mitchell introduced me up there at Hot Springs?
I am.
Well, I got a very ugly job I want you to do for me.
I'll be delighted to if I can, sir.
Well, you can do it, and you got to serve your country. Were you in the service?
Yes, sir.
Well, what, Army, Navy, or Air Force? Well, this is just another service job. I'm here talking to Wilbur Mills, and we've got to have a Southerner, a man that's got ability, and a man that's got composure, and a man's got judgment. We've got to have Robert E. Lee that'll sit on our Civil Rights Commission and give our viewpoint. Tell them what's right and what's wrong. I've got Dean Griswold of Yale University. I've got Dr. Hanna of Michigan University. I've got Father Hesburgh, the president of Notre Dame. But I've got to have a Southerner. I had John Battle, and John Battle served his term out under President Eisenhower. Then we got another Southerner, Dean Story, the head of the law school at SMU at Dallas. He served his term out, and we cannot be unrepresented on that commission, but we can't have a man that's just wild and that doesn't reflect credit on us. And I've looked over the whole South. I've gone to Atlanta. I've looked at some of my top lawyers in Texas. I've gone to Baton Rouge in New Orleans. I considered a couple from Alabama. But time comes when you got to enlist, and I just got to have you.
President, may I call you in the morning, sir?
Now, if you think about it overnight, you won't want to do it. And I've just got to have you, because I fell into this job, and I don't ask you to endorse anything. All I ask you to do is follow your conscience and come to a meeting once every month or two. But we've got to have our viewpoint presented and represented. And I just got to have you, and I don't want anybody else. And I never met you but once, but I heard you that night, that day when you introduced me, and that's the best introduction I ever had in my life. And I'll go with you on this thing and help you any way I can. And you don't have to do anything that'll embarrass you. You just have to follow your convictions. I don't want any commitments. I don't want any special pleas. I just want you to do what your good horse sense tells you. But I want somebody that I can depend on.
Here's my problem. I want to help you, and I'm highly flattered for this call, sir. I have partners in this law firm, and we have made an agreement that we would not take on any outside jobs without first telling the others.
Well, you just tell them in the morning that you've got to do this because your president got his tail in the crack. Then you call me back in the morning.
I'll do that, sir.
But, we've looked the whole South over, and this is a troubled spot, but there'll be others that are good ones. Now, I've got to have somebody that's got the capacity, and you've got it, because I sat there and listened to you. And here's Wilbur, who won't say a word to you.
All right, sir.
How are you feeling, Will?
Well, how do you think I feel?
Well, I know how you feel. You're honored.
Very much so.
He's got the same high opinion of you that I have and that everybody I know has of you. I think you can do a good job on this. You're not going on as a patsy. You're going on there. The full intention is to represent the viewpoint which you have, which is the viewpoint of all of us down there.
Well, you know I'm highly honored, Wilbur. I would like to be able to say yes now, but our law firm just has a rule that we won't take on work that's going to take us out of the office without first touching base with the others.
I understand that, and the president understands that, of course. But
could you give me some idea of what time we're talking about?
Well, what is the time, Mr. President, of this appointment? How long would it be?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm out of the office.
Oh, about once a month.
I see.
You'd just be up here for a meeting and back home.
I see.
Maybe once every 2 or 3 months.
I
understand 5 or 6 meetings a year. It's not going to take you away from your work if that's what you're concerned about.
That's
no. Pardon? Well, you know Dean Greswell of Harvard, and Father Hesburgh of Notre Dame, John Hanna of Michigan State. They're all outstanding men.
Yeah. I will call first thing in the morning.
Someone had.
Should I call?
You call the president.
Yes, sir.
Right at the White House. And tell him who's calling, and he'll take your call.
I'll do that.
And I'll tell him that you must touch base with your partners because you have a commitment about accepting anything.
Yes,
now, he wants to speak to you just a bit here further.
Thank you, Wilfred.
Fine. Yeah, the president wants to speak to you.
Well,
I
got Dean Griswold of Yale, Dr. John Hanna of Michigan State. These are men that have served before. I've got this vacancy, but I want the vacancy to go to a Southerner that understands Southern life, that understands our viewpoint, that can say to people, I think you made a mistake, here's what you ought to do, dissent if they need to, but I want somebody that I can be proud of as my appointee. That just won't be a plain damned idiot and want to eat a little nigger baby for breakfast, but at the same time will understand how to approach this thing as best it can. Now, these are the top men of the nation, and I just don't want South to show up with a bastard child. That's that simple.
Well,
I know it's not something that's going to reward you except the satisfaction of doing the duty that you did in the Army and serving your president, and maybe I can find something better as a result of it, but I want somebody that I can depend on, and I know what I think of you because I make my judgments to people. Now, I've already talked to Senator Fulbright, already talked to Senator McClellan, Wilbur Mills sitting here talking to me. We're talking about you introducing him when down here at the dam, and I talked to him about you introducing me, and I think it's not a man in Washington that got more respect for than Wilbur, and I just decided that I ought to clear this out tonight, and I just got to have you represent the South. Now, you just get Robert E. Lee out, and he left West Point. He left West Point, you know, and said that he have to get out of the Federal Army and go home and look after his people, and that's what you've got to do because we've got this problem. We got to have somebody that's got judgment, got eloquence, got ability, and that can sit in a room with people, disagree with them, and still without being too disagreeable. And that's what I'm having to do every day.
Well, I'm certainly 100% for you, too, so you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, you just come help me, and you'll never be sorry of it. I'll guarantee you that. And you just tell your partners in the morning, and your president drafted you last night, and you had your agreement, but you call me tomorrow and tell me that you're going to do this, because if you can't come to some of the meetings, that's all right. But when you're here, I want somebody I can be proud of.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and I'll call you first thing in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Emma.
Well, it may be, Harvey. Well, that's where it is. I thought he's you. No?
Yes, please.
Get me Congressman Wilbur Mills home.
Be glad to, Mr. President.